Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, O, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the R-O-C. Ho, fresh out the frying pan into the fire. I be the music biz number one supplier. Fly it in a piece of paper bearing my name. Got the hottest chick in the game.
What's good, everybody? It is Elimination Day 2024 as we sing the eulogy of the 2023 Baltimore Ravens. And another episode of the Ambitelica TIS podcast has commenced, recapping all of the action of Championship Sunday that was yesterday, as we have our championship contenders for the 2023 NFL season, Super Bowl 58, between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco, 49ers. Lots to get into. Be jam-packed show covering the two games. Interesting week. No show for you coming up this weekend because we're going to do what? One, two, three, four. There's no need to have four shows dedicated essentially to one day. So you do the one show here today, I can scream and yell and then take a blow, and then I'll be right back with you guys on Monday of next week, which is February the 5th, my father's 46th birthday. So one show for the week, taking the weekend off, and then we'll break down everything in terms of Super Bowl 58 and all that entails coming up on coming up next Monday's show. But let's get right into it. And let's start with, and I got plenty to say about the Lions and Dan Campbell choking away a trip to the Super Bowl in a minute, but obviously, you know where I'm going to begin, and that's with the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens, ladies and gentlemen, they collapsed in January yet again. They collapsed at home in January yet again. And the person that should take the brunt of the blame, the one that should take the large part of the blame, the one that that should be held to the fire and should be criticized and roasted from now until they begin training camp in late July, 5 minutes away from my house at the Under Armour Performance Center in Owings Mills, Maryland. One guy. Now, there's other people that are also to blame, but the first person that should take the brunt of the blame is Lamar Jackson. Because he collapsed in January yet again. And I am so sick and tired. I'm done. I don't want to hear it anymore. No mas. That is it. Finish. Finito. Over. If I got to hear a Raven fan or you Lamar sexuals out there, as I like to call you Lamar Jackson fans that think he can do no wrong in your eyes, if I got to hear one more person sit up here and tell me that Lamar Jackson can hold Joe Burrow's jockstrap, I am going to lose my ever-loving mind. Here's all you need to know about Lamar Jackson in the postseason. He has a 2-4 record. He has thrown for 1,328 passing yards, 6 passing touchdowns, 6 interceptions, a completion percentage of 59% with 516 rush yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, 6 fumbles, and a quarterback rating of 76. He stunk in this game. If not now, when? We posed the question heading into the Ravens beginning of their postseason run 2 weeks ago before the Texans game. If not now, when? You didn't have to face Josh Allen. Joe Burrow snapped his wrist and the Bengals didn't make the playoffs. Justin Herbert and the Chargers didn't make the playoffs because Brandon Staley is a jackass. The Jaguars didn't make the playoffs because they choked away their division lead with an 8-3 record down the stretch in the final month of the regular season. If not now, when? You won your division. Number one seed in the AFC. Home field advantage, the whole enchilada, you got the defending champs playing at your building. And that defense and Mahomes and Kelce and Pacheco and Ladarius Sneed, McDuffie, Spagnuolo, Andy Rick came in and pumped y'all. punch y'all and punch y'all in the face. And did Lamar Jackson at one point, at any period of time, get off the deck and find a way to stop the bleeding? No, he did not. 20 for 37. 272 passing yards. One touchdown, one interception, a strip sack, and got sacked four times. How in the hell is the quarterback who leads the team in rushing that's as mobile as he is, Michael Vick 2.0, how does he allow himself to get sacked four times? I know Ronnie Stanley stinks, but Jesus! Stop making excuses for him. He isn't there yet, and that's fine. He's still got plenty of time in his career. But I am so tired of everybody and their mother telling me and advertising to me, trying to push some narrative to make Lamar Jackson something that he isn't. He's getting paid $52 million a year, and he spit the bit. Stop making excuses for him. Stop saying, because first it was Greg Roman this and Greg Roman that, the play calling. Oh my God, we got to get Greg Roman out of there. Now my son Todd Monken's the one that Ravens fans want burned at the stake. So which one is it? You say you didn't give him weapons. They drafted Zay Flowers. They drafted Rashad Bateman. Mark Andrews busted his ass. He broke his leg in the Bengal game and made no football. Busted his ass to come back. He barely got the ball. Odell Beckham Jr., one of the rare Super Bowl champions y'all have on that roster, he didn't get the ball to midway in the fourth quarter. So which one is it? He doesn't have no weapons. The play calling stinks. Which one is it? Stop making excuses for him. Because we cannot sit up here in one breath and crucify Dak Prescott for time after time after time. He fails to get the Dallas Cowboys home. We can't kill Dak Prescott. We can't kill Josh Allen when he and his team invent new ways to come up small against the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason. We can't do this and then all of a sudden give Lamar Jackson a pass because you're trying to make him something that he isn't. He's a good quarterback. He has talent. He's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. But stop trying to make him something that he is not. I know what the facts, the data, the statistics, the eye test is telling me. And he's not there yet. Hell, he's not even the best quarterback in the division. And that's right, goddammit, I said it. You don't have to like it, but it's the truth. You may hate the Bengals and hate Joe Burrow to the cosmos, but you know what? Joe Burrow's the only active quarterback in the league, and I'm trying to make this about him, but I heard all the Ravens fans added for them, oh, party franchise. Oh, the Joe Burrow ain't this. Joe Burrow ain't that. Oh, stuff. Ravens flock. Oh, Lamar Jackson, big chuck. Woo. Oh, shut up. That's all I heard. And I got the same ending. Stop making excuses. He was awful. Somebody explain to me what the hell was he thinking in the second half in the score. Let me pull up the score right quick. The score of this game was 17 to 7. They're down 10 points and Lamar Jackson with 6:54 in the fourth quarter throws in the triple coverage. Yeah, and I got to hear about this guy being some big-time quarterback. Stop it. Well, he's won two MVPs. So what? We can't kill Aaron Rodgers for inventing new ways to choke in Green Bay against San Francisco with Brady in a championship game, and then give Lamar a pass. It doesn't work that way. Be consistent. You can't crucify Aaron Rodgers, who has a Super Bowl on his mantle. And the team was undisciplined. They lacked poise. Too amped up. They were more interested in getting into a street fight with Kansas City instead of keeping their eyes on the prize and focus and trying to win a football game. I mean, with clotheslining Patrick Mahomes across the face mask, here's Jadeveon Clowney leading with the crown of his helmet, knocking Mahomes to the ground. Just dumb, undisciplined foolishness. And then with the offensive play calling, here it is, the team led the league. Let me pull this up. The Ravens led the league in rushing attempts and rushing, yet somehow, some way, Todd Monken thought it was a brilliant idea. What? They had an extra day to prepare for this game. I mean, what the hell were they doing? They led the league in rushing attempts and in all major rush, most if not all of major rushing categories, and they decided it was a bright idea to have Lamar Jackson throw the football 37 times and only run the football 16. The largest deficit KC had in this game was 10 points. The defense stunk in the first half. I grant you that. But the defense, let me read you Kansas City's on the play-by-play sheet of Kansas City in the second half. In case you haven't looked at it, let me just read it for you. They got the ball, started the third quarter. Punt, 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 end of game. They punted not once, not twice, not three times, not four times. They punted five times in the second half and put up 0 points. Zero. And at any point that their quarterback who's making, how much is he making? $52 million a year. At any point to get his team off the deck, find a way to have him drive down the field and get back into the football game. Hell no, they didn't. Yeah, they got to hear Lamar Jackson essentially is the second coming of Mahomes, Michael Vick, and Tom Brady throwing in the run. Oh, shove it. Will you please shove it? I'm tired of hearing it. You can win all the MVPs and clinch number one seeds till the cows come home. Unless it follows suit with a productive January that ends in a Lamar Hunt trophy at bare minimum, I don't want to hear it. They don't hang banners and give out rings for MVPs. Go ask the Packer fan if they give two shits about Aaron Rodgers' back-to-back MVPs when all he did was choke in the month of January. And somebody has to explain to me what the hell was Mike McDonald thinking. I said to myself at halftime, I said, I sure as hell hope Mike McDonald was not arrogant enough to think when he was crafting up his game plan leading up to this game, I sure hope he wasn't arrogant enough to think he can punch up whatever game plan at 3 o'clock in the morning and decide to leave Travis Kelce wide open on mano-a-mano coverage. He cooked the Ravens defense in this game. 11 targets, 11 receptions for 116 yards. Did they watch the game against Buffalo? And back to the offense. The Chiefs defense is a mid unit. They're about average against the run. One of their weaknesses on defense, very few weaknesses that they do have, the second best defense, total defense in all the National Football League, the one weakness that they have is that they're not very good against the run. We saw it when the Raiders ran out of the building on Christmas. We saw it the week before when the Bills ran rampant all over and punched them in the face in the first half of the Buffalo Bills game last Sunday. So what does the Ravens do? They play right into the teeth of their defense, which is their strength, which is their elite young defensive backs. And they try to make Lamar Jackson a pocket passer, and it blows up right in their face. And yet again, Harbaugh outcoached in circles by Andy Reid. He is 1-5. 1-5 against Andy Reid's Chiefs teams in the last decade plus. 1-5. 2-6 overall. And he has a 3-6 playoff record since they won the Super Bowl 11 years ago. And to all you Ravens fans that love to say, oh, what do you know? You're a Bengal fan, irrelevant, probably fans to that. You know what? I don't care. I don't care. Us, really original. No Super Bowl poverty friend. Yeah, really original. Second off, nobody gives a damn anymore about the 2012 championship. Nobody cares. The entire NFL landscape is different 11 years later since you hoist that Lombardi in New Orleans. Ed Reed is retired. Ray Lewis retired. Terrell Suggs is retired. Ray Rice is retired. Dennis Pitt is out of football. Flacco's career is on his last legs. The only player remaining from that championship team is Justin Tucker. Nobody cares. So what have you done for me lately, business? And here's what your what from you have you done for me lately business is telling me. 3-6 in the postseason for Harbaugh and 2-4 in the postseason with Lamar Jackson. 2-4 and 3-6. He is in the likes of Billy Kiamer, Warren Moon, Dak Prescott, and Alex Smith as some of the worst playoff records by a starting quarterback in the history of the National Football League. Yeah, they had to hit Lamar Jackson, some big-time player. Some big-time, all-time great. Shove it. Shove it. And at any point, did Harbaugh get his team under control? Here it is. The offense stinks. No rhythm. No identity. They're getting called for 15-yard personal foul penalties left to right. We got Clowney hitting Mahomes the crown of his helmet. We're clotheslining Mahomes, and he's stepping up in the pocket. And then Kyle Van Noy, a player who should know better, who's a veteran in the National Football League, who played for Belichick and won Super Bowls, plural. Teammates with Tom Brady. And he gets baited. He is dumb enough to get baited by, I believe it was Travis Kelce, when there's three officials standing there and he shoves the Chiefs player, gets called for a 15-yarder on sportsmanlike conduct penalty. Can you be dumber? And where was Harbaugh, the coach, who's been in football forever? Been the coach of his team since 2008. I was 6 years old. Hey, at any point, did he get his team together either on the bench or in the locker room at halftime, sit him down and say, look, damn it, pull yourselves together. Get a grip. Grow the hell up and get a spine. This is the AFC Championship game, not a damn straight fight. Find your composure. Find your poise. Harness your aggression, kick their ass in between the whistle, and win the AFC Championship. Hey, at any point did he do that? No, he did not. And here it is, every 5 seconds, Chiefs players baiting them, and they taking it, hook, line, and sinker. Hook, line, and sinker. And this is karma. Karma, payback, reap what you sow, whatever you want to call it. Payback for you toxic Ravens fans out there. And you know who you are. Payback. All the noise. And I was in the building. I was in the building. They're chanting, fuck Joe Burrow. Fuck Joe Burrow. Fuck Joe Burrow. I was in the building when they were screaming it and chanting it from the upper deck in the Bengal game in mid-November. Screw Joe Burrow, to hell with him, to hell with Jamar Chase. The Bengals are some pussycats. I heard it all. I heard it all. And I remembered every last word that you toxic fans spewed that night in mid-November. I heard it. I remember it. And I'm back for my restitution, damn it. I heard it all. The toxic, arrogant, cocky, insufferable attitude in the Bengal game. It, for the last month and a half, 2 months, we're better than you, we're the Ravens, this, that, and the third. These other teams can kiss our ass. We're the best team in football. Lamar Jackson is Jesus. I heard it all. With the pom-poms, with the Ravens sweatshirts out, and the Ravens jerseys, all this for us. You reap what you sow. So I'm glad they lost. Do I love KC back in the Super Bowl and seeing Taylor Swift on my television every goddamn 50 seconds? No, but I'm glad the Ravens lost. Serves you right. Because all your team does is implode in January. You can critique the Bengals all they want. But I understand. Zach Taylor's not Paul Brown. Joe Burrow's not Joe Montana. And they have no Lombardis to speak of. But be fair. Be fair. Who's the team that's had better playoff success? The Bengals or the Ravens? When the Ravens play in a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback, wake me up. When they don't piss down their leg against Kansas City next time they see them in the postseason, wake me up. It serves every last one of you's right. Serves you right. God don't like ugly. Trust me, he don't like ugly. And this is payback. Payback. And another thing I want to hear either, that I'm tired of it. The whole theme, the game was fixed, it's rigged. You think the NFL's not going to allow their poster boy Patrick Mahomes? They want Taylor Swift to the Super Bowl. It's rigged, it's fixed, it's blah, 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 blah. Stop! Stop! Shut up! Stop! Enough! Take your L like a man, like a woman. Look in the mirror. Your team choked in the playoffs again. Regroup. Humble yourselves. Swallow the horse pill and move on. And we'll see you in training camp in August. If I had a nick for every single Raven fan that I heard from, including members of my old family, by the way, try to tell me that this game was essentially CCNY or the 18 AFC and NFC championship game, if I had a nickel, I would have enough money to afford to go to the Super Bowl on the house. No. How about your quarterback chokes in January, your coach doesn't know which way is up, your offensive game plan was horseshit, and your defense was a sieve for the first 30 minutes of the game. And they were fortunate they didn't give up 24 points in the first half, and now Juwan Taylor got called for a holding penalty, which took a touchdown off the board. The Ravens were incompetent. It's not against the law, it's not heresy, it's not blasphemy if you say it. A lightning won't strike and you won't go to hell as a result. You can say it. Your team was incompetent and they got their asses kicked. End of story. All of this, the game is rigged, it's fixed now. Why? Because they called penalties when your players were acting like horses' asses? And yes, the taunting penalty on Zay Flowers. Bullshit. I can't stand a taunting penalty. It needs to go away. Like, let the players taunt like JB said. Let them taunt. Let them show the emotions. Championship game. Keep your beak out of the damn game, Sean Smith. We've been over this. So the taunting penalty, I grant you. But I can't listen when Van Noy is shoving Chiefs players right in front of the officials' faces. Mahomes is getting headbutted by Jadeveon Clowney, and they're getting clotheslined when he steps up in the pocket on the scramble. I can't listen to it. What are you guys new at this? Every league has their poster boys that get the favorable calls. It happens in football. It happens in basketball all the time. It's a given. It's not about rigging this, that, and the third. It's just the way it is. Mahomes makes the NFL money. So they're going to officiate in certain ways to protect them. Doesn't make it right, but it's a case in point. We lived through this for 20 years with Brady. What are you guys new at this? So knowing that, you would think the players would be smart enough to realize, hey, I understand we want to try to intimidate him here, but and send a message that we're not here to play around, that we ain't scared of him. But let's not give the officials a reason to throw a flag. And outside of the Zay Flowers one, which was BS, they gave the referees a reason to throw the flag. So they see Mahomes gets hit on the crown of his helmet, or sees that his face mask damn near gets taken off, or Van Noy's done up to put his hands on a Chiefs player after the whistle when there's three refs standing to the left. And what are they supposed to do? Not throw the flag? Because the Ravens are acting stupid? I mean, come on. Stop with the excuses. Your team blew it again. And if you think that the game is tainted, if you think the league is fixed, if you think it's rigged, here's what I want. I want every last one of you. Don't buy another Ravens jersey. Don't buy a ticket. Don't buy a sweatshirt. Don't follow up and post on social media and come the first weekend of September, come this fall, don't watch the Ravens or the NFL or listen or watch the NFL Network or watch or have anything to do with the National Football League if you think that the game was a hoax. Because you sound like the immature voters that love to scream and yell to the high heavens, the election was fixed, it was rigged, this, that, and the third, when their favorite presidential candidate doesn't win. But yet, no, good damn well, had it gone in your favor, you wouldn't be screaming any of that. It's old, tired, immature. Was Sean Smith and his crew great at officiating this game? No. But don't act like that the game essentially was stolen out of your hands by the Zebras, because it wasn't. It was stolen because of Todd Monken, Mike McDonald, Harbaugh, and Lamar Jackson throwing Zay Flowers with the fumble at the goal line. That's why the Ravens ain't going to Vegas. Not because of Smith and his officiating crew. Stop it and get real. I understand the NFL has favors, and I understand that up there on Park Avenue, they aren't disappointed. They're not disappointed that the Chiefs are in another Super Bowl again. But be real. Be real. Be real and get real. I could see it. The final score of this game was 34-31, and it was some BS roughing the passer penalty that put the Chiefs in field goal range so Butker could make a chip shot field goal at the buzzer. Or like Osai in the game last year, we shoved Mahomes out of bounds. Or in the Bengal game last year when they gave Mahomes inexplicably a fifth down in the fourth quarter. I could see if any of that happened. Or they got away with the pass interference penalty like the Rams did in the game against the Saints 5 years ago. But none of that occurred. My goodness gracious. Serves you right that you lost. Enjoy Cancun. Dahlias. Oh my God. Give Mahomes credit. I mean, this is it. Here it is. This guy's been in the league since 2017, been a starter since 2018. And he's already tied Peyton Manning, John Elway, and Terry Bradshaw for the most career playoff wins in NFL history. And the guy's not even in his 30s yet, and he's got 14. And if he wins a back-to-back Super Bowl, he'll have 15, and presumptively, come next season, he will have surpassed Joe Montana, who's in second place with 16, and Tom Brady's got 35 right now. Mahomes is so great and so clutch, it's not even funny. And they did not play well in the second half, granted, but they still did a phenomenal job in the first half, you know, with that I ain't scared. Let me see if I can pull it up here. And
I ain't scared of you motherfuckers.
Yeah, there you go. They walked into Baltimore, Kansas City, Kelce, Mahomes, and straight up and said,
I ain't scared of you motherfuckers.
And they went out there first half and kicked the Ravens' tail up and down the field. He's so clutch and so damn good, and it scares the piss out of you how good and how clutch he is. Now, they muffled in the second half, and I think this could be a great Super Bowl between Kansas City and the 49ers, because both teams, their last two games in Division Weekend, Championship Sunday, they both did not play a full 60 minutes in terms of saying, oh my God, yeah, they're you know, Super Bowl champion, you know, winning by 20 points or so. The Chiefs defense played a full game for a full 60 minutes, but the Chiefs offense 30 minutes and then was just at it again with the consistent punts to the end of the game in the second half and put up a goose egg in the second half and did nothing. So it will be interesting to see. Give Steve Spagnuolo, who I've been critical of over the years, a tremendous amount of credit. I never thought he was some big-time defensive coordinator. I got to shut up now, because not only has he put on outside of the first half of the Bills game, two Sundays ago, his defense has put on an absolute masterclass here in the playoffs. They shut down the Dolphins without breaking a sweat, and there was no offense to speak up for the Ravens whatsoever for a full 60-minute period in this game yesterday. And on top of the fact, they've just played tremendous defense, you know, all season long. Those DBs are excellent. Chris Jones is going to get paid handsomely in the offseason. Just an absolute, I mean, Ball Hawks, you can't say enough. And I'm surprised that the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, but I'm not surprised. I'm surprised because of the fact of their regular season woes. You know, I thought that them not having, you know, two at bare minimum playoff games at Arrowhead could be a difference factor. I thought that them having a weak wide receiver room could be the reason why they couldn't play in the Super Bowl at the end of the day, but literally the reasons why the Chiefs are the AFC champions for the second consecutive season and for what, the fourth time in the last five seasons, is because of obviously number 15, obviously Andy Reid, but the equalizer, but the wild card is their defense. They have a championship level defense. Championship level defense plus good coaching and a great quarterback is a recipe to win Lombardis. If you can run the ball, have a Hall of Fame clutch quarterback that can win you games with his arm when push comes to shove, and you got a great defense, recipe to win the Super Bowl. So give them tremendous credit. And oh, by the way, and I understand going back to the Ravens right quick. Listen, should they have called a pass interference penalty when essentially likely got tackled to the ground in the second half? Yes, you can make that argument that they should have. But as soon as it happened, I know why on the third and five with 2:45 to go in the fourth quarter, down 17-7. I know why they didn't call it. Because ironically enough, this was the Sean Smith, remember, like we mentioned over the weekend, he refereed the Browns in the Colts game, and he called the pass interference when the ball was thrown halfway up the tunnel in the Colts-Browns game back in October. So I guess he must have, you know, didn't want to repeat the same mistake twice, so which figured why he didn't throw the flag in that situation. And the reason why they didn't throw the flag is because Lamar Jackson threw the ball nowhere near where Likely was tackled. You throw the ball out of bounds, making it essentially an uncatchable ball. You forfeit any opportunity for you getting a flag, unless it's a blatant after-the-whistle penalty. That's what he did. I'm looking at it right now. Third and five, Likely gets tackled, but by the time Likely gets tackled, the ball is all the way, is, you know, way up in the air, headed, you know, 5 yards out of bounds. So you forfeit the play. If again, football IQ is important, you throw the football in the middle of the field, it lead into Likely's direction. You don't even have to, like, throw the ball to him. You could throw it to Likely and just, like, throw it at the ground at his feet. Maybe you'll get the referees to talk about or think about, huh, do we throw a flag in that situation? And if you get the flag, you get the flag. But you're not going to get a flag for pass interference when Lamar Jackson, you know, waved the white flag on the play and threw the ball out of bounds. I knew it as soon as it happened. I said, yeah, that's pass interference. But they're never going to get that call because Lamar Jackson forfeited the play by throwing the ball out of bounds. And it actually ended up working out in the Ravens' favor anyway, because if they call that penalty, it came with 2:40 to go. If they call that penalty, the clock keeps moving, the 40 seconds on the play clock runs, and the Ravens' possession eats into the 2-minute warning, which down 10 with 2 timeouts remaining would deem for them to be problematic. So them not calling that penalty actually worked out to the Ravens' benefit because it left them more time on the clock, down 10 points. The Ravens fans are hot stuff. Hot stuff. They love the just hot stuff. All, I mean, they a lot of nerve. Bengals this, Bengals that, poverty. Joe Burrow ain't shit. And then that quarterback getting paid, you know, $52 million a year. It's got a sub 500 record in the playoffs. We can dunk on Dak Prescott. We can dunk on Josh Allen. And when his final few years in Green Bay, we can dunk on Aaron Rodgers if the cows come home, you know, about choking when the lights shine the brightest in the postseason, especially at home. Yet Lamar Jackson, for whatever reason, we're going to give him a pass. Rooting for him is one thing, but being unrealistic and or illogical and totally ridiculously off the walls biased when it comes to your assessment of him to the point where he can do no wrong in your eyes is where I gotta stop and have a conversation because you just sound like a horse's ass. You're blaming the refs, you're officiating these asinine, dopey conspiracy theories. Stop it. Stop. Your team played like absolute dog shit. The final score was 17-10, but how putrid the Ravens offense was, the final score of this game might as well have been 17-7 or 17-3 because the Chiefs, albeit offensively they did nothing, defensively for 4 quarters they kicked the Ravens' ass. They kicked their ass. Kicked their ass. They went into their building, brought that surfboard with the red lipstick and embarrassed y'all and whooped y'all into embarrassment in front of Ray, T. Sizzle, Jonathan Ogden, Ed Reed, T. Pain, and Shaq. Embarrassed them. No more. I don't want to hear it. No more. Nobody cares what you do in the regular season. Nobody cares about your regular season statistics. Nobody cares about your MVP awards. You can take MVP awards and stick them where the sun don't shine. MVP awards do not translate in championships. They don't. Ask Matt Ryan if he'd give his 2016 MVP back in exchange for having his 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl result in a championship. I guarantee fucking to you what his answer would be. Again, when they start hanging banners and giving out rings and throwing parades for MVP awards, wake me up. Now, I've been through this a bunch of times, okay? And one thing that y'all know, I can't stand repeating myself. I don't like it. I don't like saying the same damn thing over and over again, because I it's mundane, and it's just a pet peeve and an irk of mine. It drives me up the wall. But I swear to you, somebody has to put me out of my misery right here, right now. I cannot take it with the Taylor Swift circus. I can't take it. I can't stomach it anymore. Somebody has to explain to me, and I understand that apparently they've made over $300 million extra because they gotten Taylor Swift in the mix with the Chiefs this season. Who cares? These gluttonous, greedy-ass NFL executives, the owners, and Goodell, they haven't made enough money in their life. Because, good Lord, when is enough enough? Not me, nor any male football fan who still has their balls cares or wants to see Taylor Swift plastered on the TV during a Chiefs game every single 5 seconds. It's enough. I am sick and damn tired of it. Stop. I am so sick and tired of this weak, pathetic, notebook-having-ass, quote-unquote, love story. I am not interested. If I want the Fugazi, superficial love story bullshit, I know where to go if I want it. I don't want it in my football season. I don't want it on Sunday nights. I don't want it Monday nights. I don't want it 425 New Year's Eve. I don't want it in the AFC Championship game. The fact that I got that I had to stomach Taylor Swift 90,000 times, and oh, let's put the camera on it for a full 5 minutes in the postgame between Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce in my own hometown, no less, made me want to jump into the Inner Harbor. Stop! It's enough! I can't take it anymore! The heart thing, the point of her in the suite, photos of her in the suite, her being included on the promo reels, it's enough! Here's her celebrating with Kelce after the game. Stop it! Can't take it. We're there to watch a football game. This ain't fucking Access Hollywood. At what point is it overkill? To the point where it's like, oh my God, they're showing him more than they probably showed Andy Reid. My goodness, man. Like, when is enough enough? At what point do you cross the line where it's like, okay, we're getting a little bit, you know, extra with this? And I go on social media, and all I see on the Twitter feed is Taylor Swift and Kelce this, and T Swift and Kelce. Stop it! I don't want to see it on my social media feeds. I don't want NFL Films, CBS, ESPN talking about it on freaking First Take this morning for crying out loud. It's enough. It's enough of this tomfoolery and this nonsense. Cut the fluff and just give me the game. And for these stooges that run these sports, so-called sports social media accounts, to immerse themselves in this nonsense, it's an embarrassment and a disgrace. Beating us over the head with it and ramming it down our throat like 90% of us football fans halfway give a shit. Enough is enough. And I understand she makes all this money, she has all this influence, blah, blah, blah. I'm not disputing that or discounting or discrediting that. God bless her. I'm not saying she should burn in hell. I'm not saying she's the worst person in America, because she isn't. But at some point, you have to sit back and say, guys, enough's enough. Enough's enough. It is a football game after all. The freaking Grammys probably won't even next week. Probably won't give her as much camera time as the networks have this football season, which is a joke. My God Almighty! The fact that I'm no Ravens fan, but the fact they did it in my city, God, it makes my damn skin crawl. Get out of my damn city with that nonsense. This is Baltimore, not Beverly Hills. My God. It never ends. I'm telling you, it never ends. It's like the Taylor Swift propaganda machine. It's constant. It's incessant. It's like she's omnipresent. It's like everywhere you. It's like a damn house infested with fucking cockroaches. Everywhere you look, it's oh my God. This just can't avoid them. Can't take it. It's like we want to. We ain't got too many of these football Sundays left. We don't. We only got one more left, and a lot of people's eyes, Championship Sunday is dedicated to. Is the last Sunday dedicated to real football. We don't get any of the fluff of the halftime show and everybody all wrapped up in the. It's the last one that we got. Go on Instagram. First thing that pops up, SportsCenter Instagram. Could Taylor Swift attend the Super Bowl? Here's how it could work. I don't give a fuck! Unless she put money in my wallet, ain't no skin off my ass how she gets to Vegas. Let me introduce you guys to this little elixir that helped me stop procrastinating and helps put a little pep in my step in the mornings. It's called Magic Mind. Magic Mind, you ask? Well, it is a matcha. It's a heavily matcha in battered little caffeine elixir. And what's matcha, you may ask? Matcha contains way less caffeine than coffee and also contains additional compounds called catechins that extend the benefits of caffeine by slowing your body's ability to absorb it, as well as the compound called L-lethanine that helps reduce stress. These compounds work together to prevent the spike in cortisol levels and the inevitable crash that comes from ingesting too much caffeine. Matcha is basically nature's extended release version of caffeine, and that is what is in many of the several ingredients that make up Magic Mind. Seeing how well it works for me, I really encourage you all out there to try it if you're having trouble being 100% throughout the course of the work week. It's a total game changer. So if you're like me, go out and get yourself a case of Magic Mind. Just head to magicmind.com/Jan, J-A-N, all capitalized, like it. And with my code LIKEIT20, all capitalized, you'll receive an extra 20% off, which will get you up to 75% off. And this offer only lasts until the end of this month. It is January the 29th, so this offer will last you up until the latter minutes of Wednesday, January the 31st. It is Magic Mind. Go to magicmind.com/JanLikeIt, all capitalized, J-A-N. You'll get 1 month free, 1 subscriber for 3 months at magicmind.com/Jan, all capitalized, like it, all lowercase, and with my code LIKEIT20, all capitalized, with the numerals 20, you'll receive an extra 20% off, which will get you up to 75% off, and this offer only lasts until Wednesday. So hurry up before the month of January comes to a close. That is magicmind.com/Jan, like it, with the code LIKEIT20. One more time, magicmind.com/Jan, like it, with my promo code, special promo code for the I'm Telling Cattelius podcast, all caps, like it, LIKEIT, all caps with the numerals 2020 for 75% off until offer lasts until the end of this month. To the NFC Championship game, we will go. I tell you, if you're a a Detroit Lions fan, you got to be sick to your freaking stomach. This is, I don't know how in the world, I tell you, if I was a Lions fan, to quote what Dog said when I called into his show around this time last year when my Bengals lost the AFC Championship game in Kansas City, you know, you might have to pull me out of the gutters and off the street. Because I understand it's for a lot of Lions fans their team's first ever appearance in an AFC Championship game in their lives, and I understand that they had a hell of a season. They won a division, they got two playoff games in their own building, and they won the both of them, and they put together a memorable season for the ages for their fan base. And no shame, no condemnation in any of that. But the bottom line is, the Detroit Lions had to favor San Francisco 49ers on the ropes multiple times in this game and did not put the stake through them and put them away and were a solid 30 minutes away from playing in the franchise's first ever Super Bowl and winning their first ever NFC Championship. That's all you got to say. That's all it comes down to. And the Lions' decision making and play calling by Dan Campbell and company, it deserves a crap ton of heat and smoke and vitriol. Let us back up towards the end of the half. Okay, it's third and goal. The Lions are up 24-7 with 17 seconds to go before halftime. They have the ball at San Francisco's 6-yard line. Why in the world are they throwing the ball? Why don't you throw the ball into the end zone on third and goal? You give yourself one more opportunity. And this is why I can't sit up here and say, well, you know, Dan Campbell, he sticks to his guns, this, that, and the third, because he violates and he contradicts his own logic and his own thinking. Because the Dan Campbell we saw in the second half would have went for it on fourth and goal, and at the very least would have attempted a play into the end zone on third and goal before the half with a 24-7 lead. And I have no problems with him taking the points. I like that decision. Don't get too AC. Tweet it, Dan, kick the field goal, take the points, go into the half, because the last thing you need is essentially what the Chiefs had in the championship game against my team 2 years ago, where they, instead of kicking a field goal at the end of the half just to get some points and keep building that margin, instead they get gritty, bite off more than they can chew, wheel route in the flat to Tyreek Hill, and he gets tackled by Eli Apple at the 2-3-yard line. The Chiefs get no points, gives the Bengals all the momentum and some hope. They go into the second half, 11 unanswered points, get back in the game, and the rest is history. So I like the decision to kick the field goal at the end of the half. But my question is, and my problem, why don't you throw the ball into the end zone on third and goal? And then later on, here it is. David Montgomery has been essentially Barry Sanders in this game. For the game, 15 carries, 93 yards, getting 6.2 yards a clip. He's been Barry Sanders in this game. Why on third and four do you decide to run the football with Amara St. Brown? Especially when you planned on going for it anyway on fourth down. Then on fourth and two, they have the ball at San Francisco's 28-yard line. It's 7:03 to go in the third quarter. They are currently nursing a 24-10 lead. San Francisco got the ball, started the second half, went down the field, got a field goal. The Lions still up 2 touchdowns. Kick the field goal and take the points. Keep adding points to your lead. Make it a 3-score game. A 3-score game. Go up 17. Instead, they decide to go for it. Reynolds drops the pass. Lo and behold, 49ers get the ball. All the momentum. Down 14 points at 24-10. Gets the ball thrown 28-yard line. Marched down the field. 5 plays, 72 yards. And pulled within a score at 24-17. Detroit gets the ball next possession. Gives it to Gibbs. First play from scrimmage. He fumbles. San Francisco gets the ball back in prime ideal field position. They tie the game up at 24 apiece. I mean, and listen, I'm a fan of his. And America was rooting for the Lions to win this game. I'm a fan of his. Fan of Campbell's, rooting like hell for the Lions. Who, outside of, unless you're a 49er fan or a fan that's roots for a team in the NFC North, who was rooting for the Lions last night? But you're 30 minutes away from a Super Bowl. And less than that, heading as you begin the third quarter, nursing a 2-touchdown lead. You have the 49ers on the ropes. And you gave them life for no inexplicable reason. And I told you guys, and I said this about them. I said this in October, specifically when they beat the Chargers. I said it, and I told y'all it's the way he coaches and his decision making. It's a double-edged sword. I told y'all this earlier in the season. Go back and listen. I told y'all this. The way he coaches, it's a double-edged sword. The unconventional decision making. There's pros to it, and there's cons to it. Coaching like you're one of the 24 players suited up in a field of battle works for you and against you. And multiple times, Dan Campbell using that player's mindset with his decision making came back to bite his team square in the ass. The game's tied at 24 apiece. Then, at 27-24, this is the one that really, listen, if I'm a Lions fan, what's there not to like about Dan Campbell? He single-handedly is probably the best Detroit Lions coach within the last generation plus. So he obviously is not getting fired, nor should he be. And you know, come July, you know, everything will be all sugar and spice and everything nice and peach with Dan Campbell and his team's fan base. But I tell you, I would be so inexplicably pissed off at Dan Campbell for this. Out of all the foul-ups he had in the second half, this is the one that really, really, really is unforgivable. And he can sit up in the post game and say, no, hindsight, it's a bad decision. I stand by what I say, what my decision was, and double down on his decision. He can do that till the freaking cows come home. The bottom line is that Dan Campbell cost the Lions a trip to Vegas. He cost the Lions a trip to Vegas. He cost them a trip and a trip to the Super Bowl and a chance at history. He cost them an NFC Championship game. He cost the Detroit Lions big time. He cost them. He killed them. And both things can be true. Dan Campbell's the biggest reason of why the Lions got to this game and the biggest reason why the Lions, this is the closest that they've been to the Super Bowl in forever. He can be the biggest reason for their success, as he can be the biggest reason for why they are packing up their hefty bags for the offseason instead of putting together a game plan and getting their traveling itinerary ready for Vegas for next week. Both things can be true, and he cost them. Because at 27-24, when the 49ers have been coasting on the magic carpet ride the entire second half, they straight up stole the momentum. Not stole. Hell, they gave it to them. Detroit gave San Francisco the momentum. Gave it to them. gave it to them after they were dead to rights and sleepwalking through the first half of that game. Sleepwalking. They got off the deck and the Lions fouled up, gave them hope, gave them some momentum, and all of a sudden San Francisco's up 27-24. And on fourth and three, when they have the ball at San Francisco's 30-yard line, with 7:38 to go in the game, with a championship on the table, he decides to go for it instead of kicking the damn field goal and tying the football game up. He doesn't get it. San Francisco marches down the field, scores a touchdown, goes up 10 with 3 minutes left, and puts the game away and sends the Lions into the offseason. Horrible, stupid, asinine, aloof, clueless coaching. Pay attention. Seize and understand and grasp the moment. This is not a regular season game against the Seahawks in September. This is the 49ers in a championship game to go to the Super Bowl, a place that one of the oldest franchises in the National Football League has never been. And he's coaching the game like it's a game of Madden. What? Kick the field goal. It ain't that hard or complicated. Kick the field goal and take the points. When you're down there, take the points. In these playoff games, every little point you score is paramount. You can't throw these, you can't throw points away. There is no tomorrow. It's win or go home. And his unconventional decision making and his stubbornness and his arrogance cost the Lions the NFC. Let's just call it like we see it. I'll give San Francisco credit in a minute, but it cost them the NFC. And I thought he would have learned better, considering that it, along with the ref ball with Brad Allen, his arrogance cost him the 2 seed in the Cowboy game less than a month ago. When he kept going for 2 ad infinitum. And he kept pushing the hand of the quote-unquote football gods. He kept pushing the hand and pushing the hand. And every single time Dan Campbell gets stubborn and gets arrogant with these decision makings, it's like he's giving the quote-unquote proverbial football gods the double finger. And as a result, his decisions come back to bite him in the ass. Then during the choice, final drive, and this is where Ben Johnson's got to take the heat, along with the Amon-Ra St. Brown run play on third and four. Here's where Ben Johnson's got to take the heat. He's the OC, who's done a phenomenal job. He's probably going to get the Washington job, but you got to be fair and call a spade a spade. It's your final drive. Why are you running the ball on third and goal for a minute to go and you need every last timeout with an opportunity, if you have an opportunity, to get the ball back? The onside kick works less than 10% of the time. Every single timeout you have is sacred. So in the slightest of possibilities, you have an opportunity to get San Francisco off the field without them getting a first down. You're going to need those timeouts to stop the clock. Or if San Francisco turns over the football first play from scrimmage, you need those timeouts to stop the clock if you get the ball back on offense in that situation. Instead, they run the ball on third and goal less than a minute remaining when they can ill afford to take a timeout, so they use one to put themselves in a bind where they have to kick the onside kick if they score. And I don't know why at fourth and goal they decided to go for it again instead of kicking a field goal. You're down 10 points. You're going to need the field goal eventually. Why not just get it at the 1-yard line? I don't understand. If you don't score the, if think about it. If Williams does not come down with that pass, the game is over. They had San Francisco dead to right, throwing the drop passes. Gibbs' fumble. The ball that Ayuk somehow caught, that fluky play that went off the guy's face. And then Dan Campbell and Johnson being out to lunch. If I was a Lions fan, I'd be sick. Sick. Great season, a lot to be proud of. But y'all were that were 25-ish minutes away from going to your first ever Super Bowl. And I'll bet the NFC is a lot more, the NFC doesn't have Patrick Mahomes in it, but it's difficult to get back to the NFC championship game. Granted, San Francisco's been in it 3 years in a row, but look at San Francisco's opponents. They've been to the conference championship game against Tampa. Even though Tampa won, have they been back to the conference championship game yet since? The answer is no. San Francisco's gone up against the Rams. Have the Rams been back to the conference championship game, albeit they beat San Francisco? Have they been back since 21? No, they have not. You look at the Eagles last season. They didn't make it back. You have to seize your moment. And their moment was in their hands, and they blew it. Brock Purdy was awful in the first half, who spit up the joint. Throwing the kicker, Moody missing kicks, they stunk. And they let San Francisco off the hook as a result. Simply and utterly inexcusable. Inexcusable and indefensible. And I get it. He's tough. He's scrappy. You know, he's likable. I understand all that. He's not your prototypical head coach. I totally get that. But you gotta come back to me, Dan Campbell. You please. Yeah, you have to. You have to. This isn't Madden, this is nothing against the season that y'all have had, and nothing against you as an individual. But y'all had the NFC Championship history thrown in with a Super Bowl appearance on the table, and you threw it away. You threw it away. We can blame the players, but if Campbell just decides to just take the field goal, the drops don't occur. The drops don't occur. If Dan Campbell decides to kick the field goal on 4th-and-3, whatever happens after that is irrelevant. If he decides to kick the field goal on 4th-and-2 with 7:03 to go in the third quarter, Reynolds dropping a pass is irrelevant. The whole reason why you take the points in that situation is that you eliminate the potential risk for your players dropping a pass, fumbling the football, botched snap, Goff fumbling the ball, throwing an interception. You eliminate all those possibilities if you take the points. And if your special teams fouls up, your special teams fouls up. But you take the points and you tie the game up. Like I tweeted, you'd much rather be down 34-31 than be down 31-24. You would much rather be down 3 or be down 7, 34-27, then be down 10. Having to chase points, manipulate the clock with your timeouts, hoping and pray your defense gets a stop. you throw all of those intangibles and those what ifs and those coulda shoulda wouldas out the window if you just take the freaking points. If you take the points, the coulda shoulda wouldas and the hopes and the game clock and timeout manipulations, all of that gets thrown out the window and is irrelevant if you just take the damn points and you tie the game up on the surface. Right then and there. They didn't get it, and lo and behold, the 49ers milked 4.5 minutes off the clock, and the game got early late. That fourth quarter, after that turnover on downs, the fourth quarter flew by. Flew by. Because you just knew Sanchez was going to give it to McCaffrey. They were going to milk the clock, gain every first down, beat the Lions defense into a pulp, and it was going to be game over. You just knew it. You just knew it. And give Shanahan credit. You know, the common theme, front-running football team, they don't know how to come back from a deficit, which was a big theme I touched on early in the season. They're front-runners. They play well from ahead. Give them credit. Back-to-back weeks, they slept walk through the first 30 minutes, got their crap together in the second half, came back and found a way to win. 24 points in the second half, 7 points allowed, 282 total yards of offense, 162 total yards of offense allowed. They won a turnover differential in the second half. They lost in the first half, -1 turnover differential, 280 total yards allowed, 131 total yards of their own, halftime score 27-7. And they came all the way back to win the game. It's got to cement in the Super Bowl. You got your date with the Chiefs again. Don't screw it up again. Do not screw it up again. You got your opportunity for revenge. You still got to win the Super Bowl and to cement your legacy if you're Kyle Shanahan, and to right your wrongs of playoff failures past. If you do all of this just to flop against the Chiefs again, what are we going to do? But give the 49ers credit. They got off the deck. Purdy got off the deck. Was clutch. Proved to be the franchise quarterback the 49ers believed him to be. He shut me up. Again, he too. Wins Super Bowl, all bets are off. But if I'm a 49ers fan, I wouldn't be waving the pom-poms too loudly because, A, Detroit and Green Bay in back-to-back weeks gave you the game on a silver platter, and, B, Jimmy Garoppolo got the 49ers to the Super Bowl. The difference between Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy is Purdy hoisting the 49ers' sixth franchise Lombardi first in 30 years. That would be the difference between Purdy and Jimmy G. But I've seen Jimmy G get the 49ers to the NFC Championship game, and I've seen Jimmy G get the 49ers to the Super Bowl. Brock Purdy can shut up the Jimmy G comps if he beats the Chiefs in 2 weeks. But he did a sensational job pulling the 49ers back from the depths of hell, outscoring the Lions quarters 2-4 with a combined score of 34-10. They did a sensational job. Sensational job. They deserve credit. That is where you stand with the NFC Championship game. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And I already saw the Super Bowl, damn it. I wanted, and y'all know me, I was caught between a rock and a hard place, you know, hydrogen bomb versus coughing baby, Ravens or Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. I am celebrating the fact that the Ravens are eliminated, so, I mean, I guess that's a consolation prize, but I already saw that, I already saw this game before, 4 years ago. You know what happened? About 5 weeks later, a worldwide pandemic shut down the earth for a year and a half. So God forbid something painful event and a painful year I just hope that history doesn't repeat itself after another 49ers and Chiefs Super Bowl. God forbid, but we already saw this game before. We already saw it, and due to the Ravens' idiot and due to Lamar Jackson choking under the pressure yet again, Harbaugh not knowing which way is up, getting outcoached again in circles by Andy Reid, pulling the same crap with the offense that came up small, that gave the game away against Pittsburgh, that gave the game away against Cleveland in November, that gave the game away against Indianapolis. All they had to do was sit on the lead with about a 2 minutes and change remaining in the rain in September against Indianapolis, and their offense collapsed in that game, and they collapsed again against Kansas City on Sunday. Throw in that, and then Dan Campbell's arrogance, idiocy, and double-edged sword, unconventional wisdom, stabbing him in the stomach, we get a repeat of a Super Bowl we already saw from, 4 years ago. So congratulations to all of us. We got this it should be a good football game, but heading in, we got a laissez-faire Super Bowl to put the finishing touches on by far the worst NFL season of all time. The worst NFL season of all time. Awful. Awful, awful, awful. Well, a fiery yet quick episode of the I'm Telling It Tell Yes podcast is in the books. If you're new to the program, please do not hesitate to subscribe. Follow your boy on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at the J Shield. Send me your Championship Sunday and early Super Bowl 58 voicemails. Email them to me. Get them in. You got the rest of this week, essentially, a week to do so. ShieldsJai15@gmail.com. No show on Friday because obviously no games. So I'll talk to you guys. That's it for January. Talk to you guys on February the 5th. Until then, y'all be safe. God bless you. Take care.